B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, September 23rd, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check out 15 games that will not rot your kid's brain. Plus, we'll check in with our social media followers and find out what game you'd like to see remade. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today talking about our weekend. I didn't get up to a whole lot. But before we get into our weekend, generally like to read Apple Podcast reviews.
Do we have some?
We don't.
Oh. I do not believe what?
Oh, Nate, you just like teed us up and knocked us down, man.
I am serious.
Losers. All right, every single one of you out there listening in podcast land.
Could you pretend to try?
Jeez.
It's so boring.
I'm so heartbroken right now.
It is. It's frustrating, man. It's frustrating.
Animals! You're all just animals!
You know, we do this show every day. Every weekday, we have content that comes out on the weekend. If you wanted to, you could have a new piece of content almost 7 days a week through Checkpoint XP.
You know, more than 7 days a week.
When you put it that way, the fact that we come up with so much content and we want them to leave a single review, we're asking for a lot.
I know, we're asking for so much. And I mean, we even add a new show to that list, Checkpoint XP on campus.
Ridiculous, man.
Come on.
We have enough show for you to watch a show or listen to a show every day of the week.
Yep. But this is, you know what? It's the
Max
same
top of the podcast. We put so much show in this thing.
It's true.
It's you know what? It's the same thing with our Twitch chat. Like, you know, we put in so much hard work and effort every day, and they take it for granted. I feel like a lot of our content is taken for granted.
You can call
me whiny and entitled for thinking that. But you know what? Like, honestly, there's going to be one day like when you know. Hopefully a long time from now.
When you have a stroke.
When people go into a diabetic coma. This isn't working out. You guys are done. And then, you know, we're no longer going to be here. And you're going to be like, oh, where's my checkpoint?
No, you know what? You can always tell when it's one of those weeks where we've been traveling, but somebody hadn't listened to the show during that week. And they go, oh, what happened? There wasn't a low team damage this week. There wasn't a podcast this week. When are you going to bring back the week? Weekly podcast. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I think we should just sit in silence.
Reviewer, shut up.
No weekend update. Next 10 minutes of silence.
10 minutes of Nate rubbing his beard against the microphone.
Yes. A penance segment.
Yeah, a penance segment. You want to see what it's like when we're not here?
Here you go.
15 uninterrupted minutes of a shot of a jar of mayonnaise. Thank you, Rocco's Modern
and
Life.
And if you're like Volkai and you did leave a review, then obviously we ain't talking to you.
Then we're not talking to you.
No, listen.
Here's the thing, dude.
No, I'll agree with him. Somebody else got to step up.
They do.
Yes.
They got to step up. All right, Volkai, listen, we give Volkai a lot of stuff.
A lot of mess. But he does his part.
He does his part.
He plays the show for people in, you know,
he shows up to our events.
Yep. He lets us beat up on him a little bit every now and then.
He has a good sense of humor about it.
I guess that's why we can't do 10 minutes of uninterrupted silence, because we're punishing people who don't deserve
y'all
it.
Y'all out there need to be more like Volkai.
That's right.
Little bit more like Volkai.
I never thought anybody ever would say that sentence ever, but I agree. Be more like Volkai.
Yeah.
Listen, here's the thing. You know, we have a lot of people who come to the show from, you know, maybe Limit Break Radio or another show that we've done. And, you know, when we were doing those shows, we always heard, oh, we're such big fans. We don't care if it's Final Fantasy content. We just want more of you guys. Apparently not. Apparently that was a fucking lie.
Apparently it was FF14 content.
Because, you know, it can be a real shot to the ego some days. Yeah. You know, when you think back to how many people would tune in for a Limit Break Radio episode. I'm sorry if this is getting a little bit personal, but I've actually been kind of stewing about this all weekend.
Where he has been, man. He paces and everything. Like, he takes it out on us. He's throwing things at Robbie.
Nope, I posted and then removed two different Facebook statuses this weekend, calling out my so-called friends on my Facebook friends list that I know, you know, I either met through Final Fantasy 11 or 14 or through Limit Break Radio, that I have never seen be a part of the chat room, write a response to our social media question, right? Like, and I'm going like, dude, you went to the extra mile to like find me on Facebook, right? Like,
now
who does that?
Now you don't want to support me?
Which, by the way, what is that?
Even that is if so irritating.
Even if it's a pay it forward type situation, right? And because I understand, but even if it's a pay it forward type situation, it was like, hey man, you know, because I get this a lot sometimes. It was like, oh man, I stream, dude. You have no idea how many times I pop into like people's streams and just in their chat's dead, so I'll chat or whatever,
right?
And doesn't come back this way,
no.
But you know what? That's okay, and I'm gonna say it's okay, right? Because one of these days, we're going to have a chat so busy that we ain't even going to be able to answer you, talk to you, listen to you. We want, just listen, I'm going to start only acknowledging the people whose names I recognize.
I'm going through and clearing out my Facebook friends list at some point.
Oh, Nate's doing the Facebook purge.
The reckoning is coming. Oh, you like to brag about, oh, hey, there's this real great podcaster I know, and I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Let me ask you this.
No, you're not. Not anymore. Have you checked recently?
Let me ask you this. Are they getting the beforehand warning that you're doing it?
And that's then, what one of those statuses tried to be. It tried to be a warning.
And then the aftermath, congratulations, y'all made it.
Those are if you ever post the congratulations, you made the cut, I'm unfriending you immediately, because that is the absolute worst.
In my experience, Joe, you're probably not following many people anyway.
Yeah, but most of the time, though, that kind of stuff is a thirst trap. They're just trying to get attention.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. I am definitely not trying to do this for attention. I do not want attention. I just want you to listen to the show that I make every day. Like, why is that so difficult?
That's an awful lot like attention.
It's not attention. It's attention.
All right, let's talk about our weekend.
Called it.
Anyway, so I spent the vast majority of my weekend in the house.
That's rare for you.
It is rare for me, but I had to catch up on a lot of stuff. Dude, I've been playing the beta for Modern Warfare. I was playing that all weekend. I put so much time into that beta, and I really kind of can't wait for it to come out.
We're only like what now? 20? Yeah, like a month out.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. I also spent a lot of time playing the new FIFA. If you had, you got to do like a 10-hour trial. If you like had EA access or whatever.
I have a question for you about the beta, because I saw Golden Boy was tweeting about it over the weekend as well, saying that the gunplay feels really good, you know, as good as it ever has, but he doesn't seem to be too in love with the maps themselves.
Are the weakest part right now. They really are. And it's only, I think they've only had like four or five that you could play on, but they have one map that's really good. And they have three other ones that are okay.
Yeah.
And then you have one which is an abject horror that I hate. There's a cave map, and it's stupid. I hate it so much. But every other map is just very ho-hum.
Mm-hmm.
The big ground war map is so filled with just shit that there's no way to ever have like a good time playing it. So,
well, it's kind of the point right there, isn't it?
No,
to have a good time.
Yeah, that's the point. But like for somebody like me who does like a lot of sniping in Call of Duty, like there's no.
You feel like that map forces you into a certain type of play.
Yeah,
style.
And that to me is bad map design, because the one thing about Call of Duty that was always great was that every style of play could be rewarded on just about every map. Mm-hmm. And I feel like on that map, there's no way for you to properly
and snipe. While some maps may lend themselves more to one type of play style, it should never completely hinder certain styles.
Like, if I feel like I'm having to, like, change my, because another thing you could do now is when you change your loadout, you can change your attachments on your weapons and not just the different loadouts. You can change everything mm-hmm. without having to leave the map. And I found myself on that map changing so many of my attachments to even make it tolerable. So that mode, I think, needs a lot of work. But the game itself is in a pretty good place. So
with a month to go, would you feel fairly confident that it'll release in a pretty good state?
I think it will. I think people are still really excited about it. I mean, there was no problem finding matches, and that's beta.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to be curious to see how Call of Duty ends up performing up against a lot of the free shooters that have come out.
Yeah.
You know, your Apexes, the, you know, Fortnites. I mean, I think that, you know, back when Call of Duty was the number one game series on the planet, that was more than 10 years ago.
Right. And remember, we thought that blackout mode was going to make a big splash in the VR community.
And it really
community.
Didn't. It was like a wet fart.
Yeah, it was okay.
I think the big thing that'll make it is just the refinement of the gameplay. It really is. It feels that much more solid.
It feels slower.
It does feel slower.
It feels a lot slower.
But it also feels way more rewarding in that sense. That I feel like it's still got the Call of Duty speed, but it is slower than even other Call of Duties have been in the past.
Yeah.
And I think people are really happy that that's back. And I think at this point, if Apex probably is about to be a non-factor. Fortnite is Fortnite.
Yeah, Apex is really right on that cusp.
Call of Duty releases, and if it does good numbers, and if Call of Duty League opens to good numbers, Apex is done.
Yeah, I feel like Call of Duty is definitely aiming for that same segment of people that are playing Apex a lot.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whereas,
I
don't feel like they are necessarily going after the Fortnite crowd. That's there's a separation there.
There's a slightly younger factor.
People playing Rainbow Six, Apex, and
Call of Duty.
And Call of Duty.
Those are later 20-somethings.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
Maybe grad students. People
you're right.
Like that.
I mean, I thought I spent a little bit of time on the beta over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't oh my god, yes. Yeah.
But you're also not a big shooters.
No. Like, you gotta understand, like, Modern Warfare 2, I was so into.
Yeah.
I
was so into in them, okay.
I did,
so did I.
And Modern Warfare 2, but that's
a big deal, Norris.
That's a big deal for Nate.
That's not like me. I don't ever do prestiging. I'm like, okay, I wanna unlock XYZ gun, and once I'm there, I'm good.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I think I prestiged twice in Modern Warfare 2. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was one of those things where I legitimately got really into the gameplay loop and could just sit there for hours.
Because Modern Warfare 1 and 2, I think 2 to me is by far had the best gameplay loop of anything.
Hands down.
The nicest.
Hands down. And it had some of the best multiplayer maps of any game I've ever played.
It was really good.
It was so good.
It was really good.
So, I don't know.
I'm going to tell you what it'll get me.
It didn't sell me on buying it. Let me put it that way.
I feel you. I'm going to tell you what it'll get me. If the game comes out, and let's say I don't get it day one, but if they fuck around and say, hey, classic map pack, Call of Duty.
You know that they're going
Modern Warfare 1 and 2. Here you go.
Bro.
I'm like, dang, they may have me.
And you know for a fact that they're not going to do it. Modern Warfare 1 and 2. They're going to go Modern Warfare 1, Modern Warfare 2, and then you'll be able to buy the collector's edition that has all of it.
That sounds
a little bit more like Activision.
I might be in, because you're right. The maps on 2 are awesome.
They're amazing. So
that was
really
my
are.
Weekend.
They really are. The Chernobyl map, that was my favorite.
Oh, it's
Chernobyl
so good.
Map is my favorite map in all of multiplayer.
Just the shooters. Two apartment buildings yes. facing yeah. each other.
Oh, so good for sniping? Yeah. Are you kidding me? So, yeah, my weekend, I had a pretty low-key weekend. I ended up hanging out with my friend Megan on Saturday night. And then Sunday, I actually decided that I wasn't going to be a totally lazy human being.
He only used DoorDash one time.
No, I actually went on a I don't want to call it a hike. A hike isn't fair because I don't live close enough to nature to call it a hike.
You took a walk.
But I went on like a almost 4 mile walk.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got to tell you something. I don't know that I could walk 4 miles. I feel like
you'd be surprised because here I realized I made a mistake when I was like halfway through my walk and I went, I don't have a water bottle. I probably could have gone another 30 minutes had I had a water bottle and a sit down at some point. My feet started to hurt by the end of it.
I've definitely had that moment where I got to like, I was taking a walk and I got to like wherever my destination was and went,
oh no!
I have to walk.
Oh yeah, I've done that before too. Oh, I've done that before too. Yeah,
Look at it if you Uber back.
Well, I actually had loaded up one of the apps for the scooters, the motorized scooters.
See if there's a bird.
See if there's a bird. Yeah, there was not. That's okay though. It was fine, man. Like it was, you know, it was a nice day to do that, and I enjoyed myself, but it wiped my energy totally out, and so yeah, that mostly I was. In terms of a video game plan, leveling my alt on Fallout 76. So I got that up to level 26, I think.
I don't know enough about Fallout 76 to judge on this. Is there a purpose to an alt on that game?
Yeah, well, because, I mean, to have a valid build takes a lot of specification and different loadouts. So, like, yeah, you can have two characters built completely differently. Like this one, I'm making, a power armor and heavy gun.
And it's not easy. If you decide that you want to change your build, that's something you do on a whim.
Respecing takes time.
Because you have to
not just respecing. Also,
you have to level up to gain a level to respect one point.
But even in your case, where you have a bunch of those stored,
I have like 160.
A new build probably takes all different weapons, all different armor as well.
That too.
Okay.
So
all right, makes sense.
Mostly why I'm doing it though is you turn in legendaries for scrip and then you take those it's a different type of currency and then you take that scrip and you get legendaries from a vendor, but that legendary vendor will give you weapons at the level that your character's at.
Okay.
So if you turn in a whole bunch of scrip and then go to the vendor and go, hey, I want a 3-star legendary item, it's going to give it to you at level 15 or 20 or whatever the your level is.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons why I'm like, okay, well, I guess I need to have another level 50 character.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Now that makes sense.
Yeah. So what sort of dad stuff did you do this week?
Yeah.
You
know? What kind of dad ass stuff were you doing?
I can't believe I'm about to say this. I actually cleared out a little bit of my backlog. I finished up.
Like you went into the backyard and cleared out some stuff that you needed to get out of the yard.
No, I went in the back and bust up the ship.
Going and getting rid of those backlogs in the backyard.
I had a lot of them back there. No, I got through Link's Awakening for Switch.
You just bought that. That doesn't count as your backlog.
How was that $60?
I mean, I was pretty clear about it. Wait till it's 40 and play. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. Like, it's awesome. It's just, it's not
$60. Awesome.
It's a remake of a Game Boy game. It's an 8-hour game. Like, that's what it is. I got the perfect ending. And by the way, it's not hard to get the perfect ending. All you have to do is not die, which is not very hard in that game.
Fair enough.
Anyway, I also finished up FF8 Remaster and then dove into just some old Steam games that I haven't had a chance to play in a while.
Like what?
I went back. I finally finished up my playthrough of KOTOR.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a playthrough. It was like on the second to last planet or something like that.
What's the newest game you've played, Joe?
The newest game?
Yeah.
This weekend was a lot of old games.
Yeah, besides that, because that's technically a remake of an old game.
Yeah, the newest game.
Yeah, he's like, clear out my backlog of Link's Awakening.
That's
and
a
Final
new
Fantasy
game in disguise.
VIII.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of old games over this weekend. That's for damn sure. The newest game I've played.
Probably a Life is Strange, I would think.
No, I mean,
Deltarune.
I did play Deltarune. Wolfenstein in July.
So. Okay, all right.
I played Wolfenstein. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
That's pretty solid.
Well, like Norris, I spend the majority of my time in playing games. I'm on the last fight of Borderlands 3, basically. Like, at this point, I have to use the dropship to go down to wherever it is and do it. And having finished up the sort of final arc of the story, a lot more of it has now come together than what I expected, right? Nate, you and I had actually looked over a review that you had said is a pretty scathing indictment against Borderlands 3.
Mostly, I mean, and I don't know, we may even do a specific, like, discussion segment about this, but, like, it's really, I think it's the humor in Borderlands that is the biggest turnoff for me.
Which... Same. Well, I 100% get, and yeah. You know, when I talk to a lot of people, when it comes down to Borderlands, either you like the humor or you don't like the humor, and that's fine. I'm not going to try to convince anyone to play a game.
Either you don't like the humor or you don't like the humor.
That's right. Either you're going to laugh or you ain't going to laugh.
Oh, God. Nate is officially in on the
he's
meme.
In. Yep.
But in particular, this review that you were reading to me, first of all, a lot of their criticisms were fair and valid, but they were also drawing a lot of parallels back to Borderlands 2 and kind of propping Borderlands 2 up as something more highbrow than what Borderlands 3 is. I don't care how much you like Handsome Jack. The first time he talks to you, he tells you that he bought a diamond pony that he names Butt Stallion, okay? The humor is the same in Borderlands 1, 2, and 3.
Wait, I need you to go back.
What?
Yeah.
I don't remember that line at
it's
all.
It's one of the very first ones. He's talking about how rich he is and how you're just a poor bandit and how he just went out and bought a diamond-encrusted pony.
Named Butt Stallion.
And he was thinking about naming it after you. Yeah, he goes, I was thinking about naming it after you, but I mean, it's a diamond and you're just a poor bandit. And then he comes back there, he's like, I've decided a name, I'm going to call it Butt Stallion. And then you hear it in the background, like, neighing and whinnying. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't remember that.
So,
funny.
Don't no one out there try to act like Borderlands 2 was, like, somehow smarter and deeper than
more highbrow.
Oh, you're right, than what Borderlands 3 is. Now, what I will give you is, for the majority of it, a lot of the villains sort of don't really measure up to Handsome Jack, but I think that, and I have a sneaking suspicion that this reviewer hadn't actually finished the game, which, look, I get.
They hadn't. They said in the review that they hadn't.
And
they were still playing. What they were going to do was they were going to turn down the volume on the schlocky jokes and listen to some kind of podcast. I'm sure some, you know, like, I don't know, true crime podcast. I don't know. They seemed like, you know, doofy hipsters.
I mean, they were offended that Ice-T was using the word bitch a lot, but it's Ice-T.
It's not. I think it's just more like, really? You got iced tea and that's all you're going to do with them?
Right. Has there been any, by the way, genre of podcast that has grown more than that true crime thing over the last
Have you
year?
Seen?
That's
oh
insane,
my God,
probably
dude.
Not.
Look up Jen Friedman's bit that she just did on Conan about true crime.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really funny. It's really, really funny.
Anyway, what I've come to realize, though, is that, you know, obviously people have had 7 years now to look at and analyze what Borderlands 3 or 2 was and the villains and the characters, blah, 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 and all that. And now, having nearly finished it and a lot of the stuff that you find out and that kind of comes full circle and puzzle pieces that drop into place, I think that, you know, a few months, years down the line, people will look back at Borderlands 3 and...
Pretty much the same way.
Exactly, the same way. It's just like nowadays when a new Final Fantasy comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Or even back in the day when a new Final Fantasy came out. Yeah, but 8's not as good as 7. Oh, but 9's not as good as what 8 was. Oh, 10 will never be as good as 9.
No one said that about 8 and 9.
No one said that about
that era. No one said that.
Literally,
but still, you get the...
I get what you're saying, though. Yeah, that's fair.
All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. What did you get up to over the weekend? What walks did you go on? Did you go on a hike? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Don't take a hike on us, because we're going to be back with we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what game you'd like to see remade. But ahead next, we've got 15 games that will not, I repeat, will not rot your kids' brains. Checkpoint guarantees it. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, kid. Quit playing that video game. Don't you know it's going to rot your brain? How many times have you heard that in your life? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Geek Culture Congress and Nerd Radio, which you can also find right here on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Make sure you subscribe to their podcast over at bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. So, listen, games do not rot your kids' brains.
They don't.
In fact, a lot of times, they teach a lot of really good skills and life lessons. So, here is a list from CNET.com of 15 games that will not rot your kid's brain.
Yeah, so looking through this, there are some classics from our childhood even that have been brought into the modern age.
I would just like to point out real quick that before the show I'd asked Joe if we were going to play the guessing game like we normally do, and he said no, you guys wouldn't be able to get any of these.
Really?
I guessed Minecraft.
I didn't think you'd get a lot of them, but you can guess a couple.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
So, yeah, let's talk about...
Oh, boom,
Joe. Mavis Beacon.
Well, where?
Thank you. Mavis Beacon teaches typing.
Here's the first one. Where on Google Earth is Carmen Sandiego?
Same thing. Oh, same game.
That's an awesome update to Carmen Sandiego.
That's a really, really cool update. Yeah,
for those
right.
who don't know, Carmen Sandiego being the game where you get clues and historical facts to try to figure out where in the world is Carmen Sandiego.
In fact, they made a TV show out of it.
A great one.
Yes.
The Chief. Oh, yes. Yeah. That's a great show.
R.I.P. The Chief.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Up next, another one that I'm sure we'll all know is the Oregon Trail. Now, this apparently got remade for iOS.
Really?
Which, yeah. I had no idea that this game had been remade.
What did they say the Oregon Trail is actually teaching you? Resource management?
Who actually owns Oregon Trail? I mean, is
Maxis?
It Texas Instruments? Who is it?
I don't know who owns Oregon Trail. What your kids will learn. Historical events, critical thinking, and problem-solving skills.
They'll also
learn how to not die of dysentery, I would assume, but we don't know. Up next, we've got Nancy Drew Interactive Mysteries.
Sarah loves that.
Yes, Sarah was a big fan of the Nancy Drew games growing up. I even got to play one on stream one time.
Oh, did you? How did it hold up for you?
I gotta tell you, I might not have been the demographic. I feel like it might not have been made for me at age 29.
Here's the thing. Did you learn something?
That old school games on CD were garbage. That's
ouch.
That's what I learned. If you played it today, it would feel like what your kids will learn: historical events and important figures, critical thinking, foreign cultures, languages and customs, problem solving skills, and more. And I'm gonna say this, unless the languages and customs has improved a lot over the last 20 years, which it may have,
it might have.
I don't know that I would trust that.
Is Assassin's Creed anywhere on that list?
Ooh, is Assassin's
Creed. Because,
I mean, there is a lot of attention to detail and a lot of historically accurate information
And they straight up have education mode.
Well, yes, that is true. The whole game does not involve assassinating major historical figures.
Yeah.
Some of it does, but, you know, there is a lot of other thought that's put into the game.
That's a fair point, but Assassin's Creed does not appear on this list.
That is absolute poppycock.
I agree. I would have put it on there. I think that's fair. We also got some like word games, like Wordscapes. Does anyone know what Zumbinis is?
Come on, dog.
Does anyone know what that game
is? What is Zumbinis?
I think I had that for dinner the other night.
It says your kid will learn logic, patterns, data analysis, and problem solving skills. Oh. If you grew up in the 90s, you might remember this game. Zumbinis kept me busy many an afternoon. These little blue critters were the original minions, but far less annoying.
No.
I grew up in the 90s, and I do not remember this.
I remember Lemmings.
Lemmings. Yeah, I was going to say Lemmings. Yeah, sure. But I don't remember this.
We've also got the Little Big Planet series.
Okay, that's fair. That's good.
Creativity, very
much so. I mean, but I think, can't you throw Mario Maker into that same pile?
Any of those.
If you can put Little Big Planet on here, I think Mario Maker would accomplish the same things. They say logic, space, spatial orientation, skills, design, and problem solving.
Totally.
All of which is definitely being solved by Mario Maker. And frankly, I think Mario Maker is a way better game. Just get your kid a Switch in Mario Maker.
We also, did we identify Minecraft? That was one of the...
Let me read that one.
Yeah.
Minecraft, What your kids will learn: creativity, problem solving, collaboration, reading, math, and more. Don't let the blocky graphics fool you. Minecraft hasn't lost much steam since its 2011 debut. You are not kidding. That game is going strong.
Sure is.
Today. It sure is. Yeah, and there is a lot of valuable stuff that you do end up learning out of it. You know, mostly that, you know, the creation aspect. Mm-hmm. It's as valuable as playing with Legos. I think a lot of people have recognized the value of Legos as we've grown up. And yeah, 100%, same sort of thing.
I like this one. Valiant Hearts, The Great War, a game I've never heard of.
Oh, I played that.
Really?
Okay, so yeah, it's a puzzle, sort of puzzle-solving game, puzzle platformer, if you will, in a way, but it's about World War One.
Yep.
And everything in it is like you go through after there's like a battle.
Sure.
And they tell you what happened at each battle.
So you learn the historical and emotional impact of the events of World War One, cause and effect, logic, and contextual puzzles.
Yep.
I like that.
I didn't realize that that was developed by Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Really?
It's pretty solid. It is also very depressing.
That's available.
It's a little sad.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's available on PS3, PS4, Xbox, Android, iOS.
You're cleaning up after a war. It's a little sad.
Yeah.
A game called Democracy Series, another one I had not heard of. What your kids will learn: the multiple layers of government, like parties, funding, taxes, elections, policy changes.
So it's Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
I mean, I feel like there are other games that teach you politics.
I would say get your copy of, your kid a copy of Civilization. Like, the Civilization games are awesome.
But Civ doesn't get necessarily into like the minutia very well.
While it may not exactly be a parallel to Democracy, I'm going to say Papers, Please would be another worthy addition here.
Papers, Please is, I would say, not for your youngest kids. I would say for your 12, 13, 14. Yeah. Year olds, when you want them to start really understanding the impacts of choices that you make, Papers, Please is a very powerful game.
How are you going to leave off the fact that they got Portal on here?
I was not going to leave that off.
That's one of the best ones on here.
That's why we were going to close on it, Robbie.
Thank you.
But yes, Portal is also making an appearance on here, which, I mean, the whole phrase, "now you're thinking with portals," was all about understanding spatial recognition, physics, and kinds of puzzles like that.
Well, not to mention, if you played Portal 2 with a friend as well, you're also going to learn a little bit of a democracy there as well.
I mean, teamwork, collaboration.
On how good of a friend you have. Who did you play that with,
Robbie? I played that with our good friend Chris.
That's probably not the person you want to play with.
Even when you're purposefully not trying to kill each other, sometimes accidents happen, and you got to learn to live with that and accept it.
Yeah, but Portal, I think, is definitely a worthy addition to this list. And I think there's a lot of good ideas on this list. Not all games are just like, you know, shoot 'em ups.
No, absolutely. And I think that there is a considerable argument to be made that, you know, a lot of games, even ones that do shoot 'em up, they do teach a lot of skills that you end up applying later on in life. But listen, we want to hear from you. Are there any games that you think should be added to this list that you found educational value in? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what game you'd like to see remade. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP's social media question. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on 92.5 FM Fox News in Jacksonville and ESPN Southwest Florida, 99.3 FM. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP Low Team Damage and the other identity. Plus, we've got an exclusive brand new t-shirt and hoodie that's available for a limited time this fall and holiday season. You can check it all out over at checkpointxp.com/ shop. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we asked you guys, you know, there was a whole lot of discussion about the Final Fantasy VII remake from Tokyo Game Show. So we thought, you know, what game do you want to see remade? And kind of like in the same vein.
Yeah, not just a remaster. Yeah, like not just upscale. Yeah,
it's, we're not talking FF8 style here. We're talking,
or even Link's Awakening style.
Right. We're talking a full remade from the ground up.
I got it. No,
next
I got it.
Generation like tech, all that stuff.
I got it. I already know off the rip. Off the rip.
Okay.
Wow. You seem very confident.
Xenogears.
Dang it. That was going to be mine too.
Xenogears. First of all, I'll finish it. Second of all,
that's number one, two, that's and number three.
So, first of all, finish it.
Can they bill it that way? This time with an ending?
Yes. This time we finished it.
This time we finished it. Exactly.
But not just that. You make the mech combat fully fleshed out.
And
you
can customizable.
You do some Armored Core style stuff. Mm. But you keep that person combat, the first sort of style combat, you keep that the same, because that combat system was really dope and intuitive, and I think you want to keep that very similar.
Listen, if more people wanted that, then Xenosaga would have been well-received
Xenosaga was way different.
Series.
It had its own different. Problems and different. Issues, man.
Remake Xenogears.
Mm. I don't know that you'll ever see it. I don't think you'll ever
of
see it.
Probably
not.
See it. Shut up.
No.
I personally would love to see, and I know we got a lot of people sounding off on this one, Legend of Dragoon. It's my favorite PlayStation 1 game. And you know, the thing about PlayStation 1 era was that, you know, graphically, yes, things were evolving, but it's still so ugly. So I feel like a lot of that era is like ripe for remastering, because
imagine,
that game would be amazing.
Could you imagine the transformation sequence into the Dragoon armor, like using today's technology?
Ugh.
Would look so amazing.
It really
that would be
would.
Next level stuff.
It would be sweet.
You make such a good point about that PS1 era for graphics, because we got like the introduction of full motion video at that time.
Yeah.
As opposed to video that isn't full motion. anyway, those looked incredible. Like, you'd see that and you'd be like, wait, that's a video game? That's unbelievable. Right. And then you would see the on the world gameplay, and you'd be like,
that
doesn't look
okay.
Great.
I understand. Yeah.
All
that.
Right. Well, since both of you two took my top two ones, and I'm not going to say Suikoden or Vandal Hearts, because I got my itch for both of those out of Fire Emblem Three Houses most recently. So what I want in VR, do you guys remember Intelligent Cube?
Are you serious? Intelligent Cube, Robbie.
In VR. Think about that in VR, man. These cubes coming down on you, the floor falling away. Come on.
Robbie
that
wants
would be
to
cool.
play Tetris in VR.
That was more than Tetris, man. That was more than Tetris.
Legend of Dragoon 2.
Oh, hey, we got Taliesin True Strike throwing some bits in the chat.
Thank you, Taliesin.
It's been a minute since that's happened. All I got right. real freaked and, out and, for a second.
I know, yeah.
There.
We were talking over it, but again, if you want to join in on anything that we say, make sure you join us live, twitch.tv/checkpointXP. More than 1,000 bits. Joanna, our bit bot, will read it out live for you on stream. But Taliesin says, I would love to see a remake of Legend of Dragoon.
I don't think there's a single person that would disagree with that one.
No, yeah, there's very 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 few people that would actually disagree. Joe, did you actually give us a game?
No, I don't
think you did.
For me, in an era where games like XCOM have shown that style of gameplay can still be really fun, I need Shining Force remade so bad. That is a game that had a lot of interesting characters and just couldn't do a whole lot with them at the time.
But they're reimagining it, so this time it's a card game.
You know, based on the horrible decisions that company has made with the Shining Force franchise after that first and second game, it wouldn't shock me to see that happen, actually.
All right, you're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're currently going through our social media question we asked you guys at home. What game you'd like to see get remade? So let's take a look at some of the responses that were coming in over social media.
From Seamus, it says, I would love to see a Jade Empire remake, and you Ooh. And me both. Really, anything early BioWare, I would really love to see a remake.
Jade Empire was early BioWare?
Sure
really?
Was. Yeah,
I did
sure
not.
Was.
know that.
Yeah.
Huh? Did not know that.
Drew on Facebook says Conker's Bad Fur Day, open world sandbox style, having to fight to retake the crown.
Okay, yeah, because what we really need is the almighty poo in 4K high definition.
You know what?
That is
what
we do. Yes, we do.
I want that in my life, and if you don't, you're a bad person.
That's fair. Threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Derek says Pokemon open world engine. I mean, we're kind of working on that.
It's close. It's close. But here's the thing, and I did ask Derek a little bit more information on this one. I asked him because, yeah, that's pretty close to what Sword and Shield is going to be, but I think more specifically, all of the different regions combined into a
San Andreas. Also, like a San Andreas of Pokemon.
Oh, yes! Never mind. I do want that.
I want that in my life now.
Justin says, Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. I love that answer because that was a game that was kind of ahead of its time for the
NES.
Smashed for it.
Absolutely. I mean, everything down to the different powers and abilities that you end up collecting.
Going side-scrolling in the dungeons.
Yeah, totally. That game was way ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm. Aaron says, Mega Man Legends. It was already ahead of its time with its customization for weapons in an open-world environment, third-person shooting, the whole nines. So many of these games exist in this fashion, but everyone's sleeping on the third-person Mega Man. I'll tell you why everyone's sleeping on it.
It didn't work out so well for Samus and Metroid, though, did it?
Well, because Mega Man Legends was awful.
I don't want to say it was awful, but it wasn't awful, but it also was not mind-blowing either.
Sarah says it's not super old, but I play a reimagining of KOTOR any day of the week. It includes things like more fluid combat, more dynamics, party interactions, less terrace. The possibilities are endless.
Well, I mean, that game is really difficult to look at these days. Like, early PC games, like especially that were doing 3D environments like way early.
Again, early BioWare.
Yeah.
Tough to look at today. Zeldoria says, SOCOM U.S. Navy SEALs. I think it could bring back something different to the online console shooters. Just need to keep it third person and team-based.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I had a lot of fun with SOCOM back in the day.
Yeah, me too.
Jeff says, I'd love to see a new reimagined Dark Cloud series. Those games were my jam back in the day. I had really forgotten about Dark Cloud.
I also, but man,
I sunk hours into that game.
That was one of the very first PS2 RPGs, wasn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Joe says, odd one here, but the Earth Siege games by Sierra for PC or Phantom Crash for the OG Xbox. Well, I'll tell you what. Almost anything that Sierra made for PC back in the day, I'd love to see a reimagining of
nowadays.
I don't
remember Earth Siege at all.
It was a combat game from, back in the, I think, the mid-90s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'll know it when you see it.
I do know it now, yeah.
Andrew on Facebook says, Body Harvest from N64.
Yes!
What?
Yes!
No.
Yes!
I have blocked Body Harvest out of my memory.
Yes! No. Remake it.
He says, let Rockstar basically reimagine it like Judge Dredd versus the Arachnids from Starship
Troopers.
There was another game for original Xbox, and I'll never remember what the game is, that it was actually very much like that.
Oh, interesting. Pinello on Twitter says the Dino Crisis games are in desperate need of an HD remake.
I will absolutely agree with
that.
When was
the last Dino Crisis game?
Years.
The 90s?
Years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
All right, one more.
Enyo says, an old PS2 game called Stuntman involves doing driving stunts for movies and then
I do remember
the end to show your completed stunts in a mock movie trailer.
That would be awesome.
Sweet. I
would
be okay with
that. Stuntman was so difficult. That was easily spend 2 hours on one level.
Absolutely. All right, well, listen, we're going to have to leave it right there, but make sure you connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram so that you can make your voice heard on next week and every week's social media question. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show in esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And, of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.